Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Flock. Glad to have you aboard WWCR 507 on. We're live tonight on May the 15th. We're heading toward Passover time. We just hope and trust and pray that you will see fit to come and visit with us in the hills of North Carolina and the Smoky Mountains when we celebrate Passover, beginning on the night of the 20th. That'll be May the 20th in Andrews, North Carolina, where we will congregate and participate in celebration of the second Passover, given by the authority of Yahweh himself. So we appreciate you attending the festival of Passover and honor the Father in biblically appointed feast times. You see, it's a challenge for anyone to keep the feast dates. Why is it a challenge? Because in the last days, men shall depart, not participate, but depart from the faith. And so then, we encourage you through invitation. You can't say that if you're under the sound of Pastor Buddy's voice on the Shepherd's Call tonight that you've not been invited. We invite you to attend the festival. It will be 7 days of delightful celebration of a time to get acquainted, Bible study, praise, songs, altar worship. You'll get to see an old-fashioned altar built in the mountains of North Carolina and the Smoky Mountains, where we go each night to offer up acceptable sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving as we worship on the covenant of salt circle, where we offer our praise and tribute, as the ancients did. Why do you think that the Bible encourages altar building? We know definitely that people have gotten away from building a altar, a place to come and assemble and offer up acceptable prayers and praise of our Heavenly Father. So, if you'd like to do that and participate in a covenant of salt. Now, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what about a covenant of salt? Well, the salt covenant is given for those who will participate, not for those who have done away and went to some superficial worship services, things that are a pretense of deception. Altars that are not built correctly, places of worship that are not designed correctly, you're offering in vain. In vain, he said, they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that the time has come that Yahweh himself will direct man's heart
back to the old path, and that the old path and the covenant principles will be restored in the last days. Well, if you want to participate in festival, then be in North Carolina, where we will carry the performance of the rituals of Passover celebration, just like it says in the Bible. No departing from the old path. Staying right on the old path. And I'm sure that you will be blessed, as we have gathered there many times, to be blessed in the power of the Holy Shekinah as she comes down in waves of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Now, let me give you a scripture to verify a covenant pact that Yahweh has with his children. You can find this in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, and it asks a question and answers it all at the same time. Listen as I read. Ought you not to know that the Lord God, in the King James, of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever? Even to him and to his sons, that's succeeding generation, a non-ending pact of covenant of salt. I have given the covenant to David and his sons by a covenant of salt. Have you ever met in a circle of covenant of salt? Have you ever seen the performance of the worship of the tradition of the elders and not the tradition of the deceivers who have built altars and aligned them to the central worship of Baal, Ishtar, and Zeus, and the principal gods of mythology? We have been taken out of the old path and put into the broad path of a Babylonian confusion. Oh, I love the old-fashioned way. It is wonderful. Tonight we're going to talk about and study in a subject that will, I believe, be a blessing for you. And we're going to talk about tonight gene splicing. Gene splicing. So you call a friend and tell them that Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call is on. You don't want to miss this exciting series. I don't know how long I'll go in this. I could go for probably a month and a half, wouldn't be told. If you look at the situation today as I have been studying on this, and I believe that this is one of the most important things that we need to study and think about. This is a serious problem confronting with what is undoubtedly the single most potent technology the world has ever known. It's more powerful than any of the secret nuclear atomic ages that we have been in. Yet, if you look at it, it is being released throughout our environment and deployed with superficial or no-risk assessments, as if no one needs to worry an iota about its unparalleled powers to harm life as we know it and for all future generations to come. Now, I want you to stay tuned to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy tonight as we begin to lay the groundwork and an introduction to biotechnology so potent that it could actually alter the very original genetics of mankind, that we could be completely altered and transformed by the introduction of this biotechnology that will eventually impact all of those living upon the earth. Now, between 97 and 99, now these dates are very significant, and I'll tell you later why I believe that 1999, which if you just flip the number, 1999, remember that we had the Y2K scare in 1999 coming into the year 2000 as a rollover. We were worried about computers and systems failing and having chaotic conditions around the world. That didn't materialize. And a lot of people that had food stored got disenchanted, dismissed their scare as frightened children, became embarrassed, and promised that they would never participate in any rollovers such as that again. Well, maybe, just maybe, that if you turn 1999 upside down, we will come into a more appropriate region of times. Remember, in the last days, we are going to see great changes. Now, let me give you a scripture that will support the foundations of the gestalt that we intend to lay for you tonight, and then that is this. If you look at all the technology that has been produced in the past, and as some of the advertisement of a popular brand of cigarettes used to say to the women, we've come a long way, baby. Man has traveled, and listen what the scripture said. It says that we know that the Creator made man upright, but that evil men have sought out evil inventions. And gene splicing, or genetic alteration of the original, now we're talking about anything from the DNA code, and tonight we will be particularly concerned about the food we eat. It is now, I don't know whether you know that, you're going to be appalled, as I was when I studied this issue. Now, I've been studying this for the last 30 years. I was told by the Creator, as I was fasting one day, sitting in the mountain shore of East Tennessee in a cave, seeking the divine presence of the Father, I was told and inspired to study on genetics, and particularly the DNA code. And if you look at this gene-modified ingredients, in other words, the ingredients of technology to supply knowledge, to splice genes, and it comes innocently enough as they start with food. You see, they're going to do all of their DNA testing behind closed doors. This is where life has been, if you will, spliced together with other species. And ladies and gentlemen, this is no science fiction show tonight. This is the real thing. These things are actually going on even as I speak tonight behind scientific closed doors because of the outrage that it would produce if the majority of the people knew exactly what is coming down behind closed doors as they are now experimenting and all kinds of genetic splicing to life. And this is going to go right back. We're going to be drawn right back into Genesis chapter 6 as it introduces us to the same scenario when we had a great influx of evil men that sought out evil inventions and continuously had their minds toward evil control or power over the people. Now, by this chemical merger into the chain of genetics. Now, let me give you some information about what you are. It's amazing. I am amazed at how the Bible would say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, the question is, what is the mechanism that causes us to think within a certain realm of our ability? Who gave us this ability? Now, the human body is made up of about 50 trillion cells. Now, let me repeat that. The human body is made up of around, give or take, a few billion, I guess you might say, 50 trillion cells. And inside each cell is information that is stored that tells the cell what to do or how to work within the body. Now, isn't that amazing that the cells have mapped genetic information that tells this particular cell what to do or how to perform its functions within the body? Now, if there's any mutation or splicing or alteration or sudden change within those 50 trillion cells embedded in the body, that's why that a person that gets, for instance, that is healthy one day, diagnosed with incurable, if you will, cancer, and in just a few days, the person is dead. Eaten completely up with cancer and no warning whatsoever. It's just like all of a sudden the cells explode with some kind of a genetic map that says self-destruct immediately. We've even had spontaneous combustion examples after example of people literally exploding in a flame of fire and burning completely up. What kind of alteration or what kind of a genetic flaw would cause that to happen? Why is it that some people stay completely healthy and some people are sick and weakly all of the time? Is it past life association of the sins of our fathers? Well, who have the power to introduce sin to the third and fourth generation? In other words, the payback. And the Bible said, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap." If the code of what he's talking about here, as I understand this, is that the DNA code has been programmed through some kind of a sin that is charged to the genetics or the DNA chain of that family, that there could be a gene that has gone astray or that has malfunctioned in its purpose within the body. This can become deadly and can produce actually horrifying consequences to that family. Now, that's what man is working on in the medical side of genetics. But I want to introduce you largely to something that has very subtly been placed upon your grocery shelf, and you are not aware of maybe a pig's gene or cell taken from the body of a pig and placed into a food item that you are fixing to ingest without any knowledge whatsoever that the food has been modified to accept this splicing of the genes. if you will, look between 97 and 99, gene-modified ingredients suddenly appeared. Now, get this. I want you to get this. I'm telling you, this is amazing that we have set idly by, and very subtly, our food-producing manufacturers. Now, ladies and gentlemen, food manufacturing has become one of, if not the most lucrative field that companies involved with feeding the human race, approximately 6 billion, that are hungry at least 3 times a day on an average, that we have had economic war literally break out in the world. You see, economies and feeding the people is of prime interest to those who would seek to control the world or the people of the world. Now, I want to give you this statistic. This is backed up by the United States Department of Agriculture. That 2/3 of all U.S. processed foods already have genetic modification ingredients inserted into the food. Now, does that blow you away? I know it absolutely blew me away. I could not comprehend what I had just read there. Suddenly, we have 2/3, and the list is growing, ladies and gentlemen, 2/3 of all U.S. processed foods now contain genetically modified ingredients. This food alteration was fueled, get this now, made possible, in other words, by a single Supreme Court ruling. Now, did it get your attention? I can't even remember when this came about, but it did. It allowed for the first time the patenting of life forms for commercialization. Since then, thousands of applications for experimental genetic modified organisms have been filed with the U.S. Patent Office alone, and many more abroad. Furthermore, an economic war broke out to own the equity in firms which either have such patent rights or control the food-related organisms to which they apply. This has been the key factor behind the scene of the largest food agrochemical company mergers in history as they prepare for the 21st century, as they alter our food chain in genetic splicing, alteration, modification. And ladies and gentlemen, the consequences without experimentation and proper time applications could be devastating. Now you say, "Oh, Pastor Buddy, I wouldn't worry too much. Monsanto knows what they're doing," for example. Yes, they do. I would agree that some of these chemical companies that have got these agrochemical, and ladies and gentlemen, it's a big business. I don't know if you know about the commercialization of our farmlands. How that we have gone against the scriptures by not letting the land rest according to the biblical recipe of owning the land and caring for it and being caretakers in charge of our heavenly creator. And now we can't even teach in the schools that the earth was created by an intelligent being, let alone accept it as a fact. We can't even teach it. It's not legal by Supreme Court. court rulings, who has now ruled that patents can be obtained to genetically modify the food that comes upon your store shelves for you to conveniently, and they have every bit of information there except probably what you need to know. And what you don't know could be the vital key factor behind the scenes of the largest food agrochemical company mergers in recorded history. Few consumers are really aware of what's going on, and it's continuing and picking up pace even as we speak. If you recently ate soy sauce in a Chinese restaurant, for example, if you munched on popcorn in a movie theater or indulged in an occasional candy bar, you've undoubtedly ingested this new type of genetically altered food. And you may have at the time known exactly how much salt, fat, and carbohydrates were in each of these foods because regulations mandates that their labeling for dietary purposes be placed upon. But you would not know if the bulk of these foods and literally every cell had been genetically altered. Now, for anybody that knows about righteous living, food that has live enzymes or living cells is the most potent, nourishing, healthy food that you can eat. But if that cell, that living enzyme within the food package has been modified, or if the instructions of that cell that is in that plant life, let's say, or, for instance, if you're a meat eater, even in the animal life, because now our foods in the animal and the plant kingdom, two-thirds of these foods have been modified to some extent for some reason to gain more profit from the foods served up to the unsuspecting public. Now, let me show you something here. In just 3 years, between 97 and 99, as much as one-fourth of all American agricultural lands, or, get this now, 70 to 80 million acres were quickly converted through co-op-styled merging farms, which the single individual farm is becoming a thing of the past. And most of you since the 1930s have seen the farms auctioned off and then these large agrochemical concerns have co-opted the land. 70 to 80 million acres in 3 years between 97 and 1999 were quickly converted to raise genetically modified crops. Now that's getting on the bandwagon pronto. There must be a lucrative market, or is there some diabolical, sinister plot beyond just reaping profit? Is there some other reason? Well, we'll deal with that later on in the series of genetic modification. Now, one-fourth of all American agricultural lands, or 70 to 80 million acres, converted. Yet in most other countries, the same approach is subject to moratoriums, partially banned, or greatly restricted, or in most cases, it requires a labeling and with stiff legal penalties for noncompliance. But in America, under the Supreme Court ruling, now two-thirds of the foods that you eat in a candy bar has had some type of genetic alteration for reasons that are not required to be specified. Now, Great Britain, France, Germany, the Netherlands, Italy, Spain, Portugal, Greece, Denmark, Sweden, Belgium, Finland, Ireland, Austria, Portugal, or in virtually all European nations under the EU, the European Common Market, the same trend has further spread to Latin America, the Near East, and Asia, and by contrast, an unregulated, quiet, and lightning speed expansion has been spearheaded in the United States by a handful of companies in the wake of consolidation. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my question to you is this. When are we ever going to get off of our 6 to 10 lane superhighways of block traffic? I've got a brother and sister that lives in Arlington, Virginia. And there's more congested areas of our nation's highways than Arlington, Virginia. It's just one example. But having never been there, I've been told by these folks that live there that it is a daily struggle and a nightmare on any boulevard coming into Washington, D.C. from surrounding areas, that it's bumper to bumper and nightmare after nightmare of experiences of congestion. When gas is gone through the roof, and as we stop at the local store unsuspecting to run in to get that quick fix, or we stop in any restaurant where we demand instant services, we honk the horn and we got to be gone in less than 60 seconds, or we are in a bad mood, Charlie Brown, as we get back on the congested freeways and head for disaster. We are in a quick fix to disaster. If you look at the companies that is using these biotechnology attempts to gain a deeper control over nature, I want to ask you a question, simple, and if you're a new Bible people that believe in a creator know what I'm talking about. How can you improve upon the very creator who provided nature with the genetic instincts in both the animal, the plant kingdom to produce food that was qualitative for the health and well-being of those who participate and recognize and respect the Creator's covenant laws? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the central problem is that controlling living nature has brought the central problem of all this technology. It's not just short-term benefits and long-term drawbacks, but the overall attempt to control living nature based on an enormous, erroneous, mechanistic view of bioengineering that offers a sure recipe for destruction. Now, did you know that the Bible says that these things are going to happen? Read about the bread in Revelations. Now, there is a recipe for wholesome bread in the book of Ezekiel. It is the whole grain issue. But did you know that our farmers who have now been taught to chemically farm without letting the land rest to genetically earthworms, in other words, to enrich the soil, that we have poisoned the land and the earth with so much chemicals that it's almost awash in the raw sewage of chemicals that have been poured out, and then the artificial enhancers to make food grow in the midst of all these increasing biotechnology, chemically inspired rodents. We can't develop a poison to kill them. Our grains are being destroyed in the field with rodents, with insects that are virtually chemical resistant. I'm telling you, these little creatures won't die. They have built such a immune system to the poisons that almost it seems that they fatten up and thrive on the very thing that we spray our crops to kill them with. And by the time we get a technology to rid one species of pestilence, then it seems that Mother Nature produces another. Or the land that has been altered and sprayed with chemicals, that these insects and pests, the grasshoppers, the locust that is mentioned in the Bible, that they would literally, and I'm telling you this, and I know this for a fact, up in the state of North and South Dakota, at certain times of the year, the folks up there have to literally put screen wire over their radiator ventilation systems to literally keep from clogging the radiators and the filter systems of their automobiles with these insects as they go from field to field, eating the crops that have been genetically altered to be germ resistant or insect resistant. By the time they get one fix, they have 10 more created genetically altered insect problems. Now, what about the natural way, organic? And did you know that organic farming is up over 900%? That more and more people, regardless of the price, are turning to, if you will, organic foods. And yet, the seed companies, and if you don't have your heirloom seeds, if you don't have the original seeds, the unadulterated, the seeds that have not been cross-pollinated, if you will, and genetically altered from nature, then man has come along and taken away the original seeds. And literally, it is against the law to hoard original seeds. Just like it's against the law for you to hoard food. Patented death and genetic alteration could be the future for the people of the earth. Remember the science fiction almost accounts in the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, to name two books. There's others listed, but these two are horrifying enough just to read, let alone to see the actual performance of what they predict in the last days. What is patentable also needs to be mentally distinctive, fixed, or mostly unchanging in our minds to obtain an ownership or a right to control the patent. If it's Yahweh's patent, he has the original. How are you going to improve on the original? Well, leave it to man who has sought out many inventions In the last days, much knowledge will be increased, but this knowledge is used for evil intentions. And so then, they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And literally the agrochemical pharmaceutical companies that own these large co-op compounds are nothing but lethal, biological, soaking their seeds, their terminator plants, their second generation, in other words, the hybrids that you can't replant to get a production yield, and that is to guarantee large profits for these agrochemical pharmaceutical companies that own our control of the patents for monetary gain. But then, once you feed, just like the insects, now listen to me very carefully, this is where I believe that man will take a disastrous step in genetic alteration as they go exploring for ways to alternate these biological strategies to feed mankind and change him into some type of a bionic, chemical-induced operative mind. Because if a way to a man's heart is through his stomach, then the large co-op chains of patented genetically altered foods have the inside track to your very soul. And it's mentioned, as we will see, and deeper as we go deeper into the study, I want to give you some scriptures to verify what we have in genetic alteration technology, as it is now producing a subsequent generation from escaping the controlling patented mole. You're going to be forced with genetically altered seeds, the only seeds that you can have a source to year, to replant these lethal soaked toxins in these terminator plants that are built to produce and yield a great yield with the genetic alteration, and then they die and will not reproduce until you rebuy the seeds to be sown back into the chemical-controlled environment of the very earth that we have turned into a chemical sludge pond. Did you ever think that you would be forced to buy your water? That the day would come, and I come up in the old school, and if you're in the 30s, and you wouldn't know anything about what Pastor Buddy's talking about. But I go back into the 40s, when water, that we didn't have any environmental concerns. We grew our crops from natural seeds. Everything that we had was organic. Then the commercial experience of fertilizer in the 50s began to be commonplace. And from that, we've been going down toward the chemical sludge pond ever since, as we have bought the chemicals to make our land bare, simply because with this biotechnology of planning year after year to enlarge the yield of our crops, we have forgotten the sacred laws of Yahweh's laws to let the land rest, to alternate the fields that sown, and to not mix the seeds in the fields. So you see, the Father knew from the book of Leviticus the dangers that were coming to subsequent generations, that we are now caught up in the genetic modification of even the foods. Now, we're going to talk about the DNA into the blood, into the human chain, and the animal chain. Did you know that a few years back that a lamb was born with no father? That this genetically engineered lamb of cloning is now history. I mean, this is old hat. Now we are going into the human chain. We're going to be growing mouse's ears on a tomato. I don't want to go that far as to say that that's actually going to happen, but the technology is there. The genes are being spliced into and cross-spliced with every imaginable combination formula that you can conjure up in the mind of those who control evil inventions at their conventions. Evil men waxing worse and worse to make your diet a nightmare at your kitchen table as you sit down to food that has been altered. Now, all this is for the well good, and in its naked essence, it seems good. But ladies and gentlemen, did you know that evil men have no ability to do good? That when the love of money is the motivation based on the performance of the inventions that they invent only for monetary gain, there will be no quick fixes here for our Western style living. We want it Johnny on the spot. We don't care where it's genetic or if it tastes good, it's got to be good. And we know that when the food tastes good, it probably isn't. So then, we have been led down the primrose path into the shining era of man's ability through evil inventions to monkey with the very genetic life code of everything that lives upon the earth. Nothing will escape the splicing ability of the evil inventions of wicked men who seek for filthy lucre. And this is why that I believe that behind the wealth of the few will be the disastrous results to the many. And if we don't learn to return to the old path and come back to where we are willing to wait for the goodness of the Creator. Did you know that when you plant a seed tree, that you're to wait patiently for several years for the fruit to fall from the tree, to give life back from whence it came? Because life is in the seed. And in man, life is in the blood. That's the seed of man. It's the genetics borrowed from the Creator himself. And I've taught a series on life in the blood. It's a seed. And to have man to come along and map the DNA code. And if you think you're something, the human gene count in humans is 30,000. And the gene count in a mustard seed is 26,000. a mere 6,000 counts between a mustard seed and a man that is made fearfully and wonderfully. What right do you have to alter the mustard seed, who by its own nature, and one of the things that they haven't done and cannot seem to do, it may be done since that we are now micromanaging the cell contents, and we are now able to inject a new set of code guidelines into the very cell of life itself. Dangerous consequences. Beyond imaginable return. The little mustard seed that won't mix with anything, have an account of 26,000. And by the way, the numerical count for the great, magnanimous, magnificent, awesome name of the Creator happens to be 26. And he specifically mentions the mustard seed as an example of the technology of the Creator's mind. Oh, but man, through many evil inventions, has come along and says, we can do you one better, oh man. And Yahweh, who sits in the heavens, shall laugh and better yet, he shall mock when their fear comes. The enormous consequences of genetic alteration, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is almost beyond the point of no return. There's no looking back. The genie, so to speak, is out of the bottle. And what about life that surrounds this chemical cesspool that we are now creating called Mother Earth? Are we ever going to repent and return back to the days of the biblically appointed application to care for this planet? Are we never going to learn that profit will never meet the needs of righteous people? That until we become a spiritual people, concerned about spiritual things and spiritual applications, rather than the materialistic-minded, greed-running people to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. We are at the point where that we need to stop, look up, and return to the OPATH. Remember, the prodigal son that found himself in the chemical cesspool of the pigsty. Remember what he said, I will return back to my father's house. This is to return back to organic reasoning of our minds, that the organisms with the structured cell instructions given by the Creator, not to be modified or tempered with in any way. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're just jealous because man is improving on God's handiwork. If you visit the insane asylums and the hospitals that I have and looked at the nursing homes of men and women in their early 40s with no mind whatsoever, they don't even know where they're at. They don't even know what their name is. And you tell me that we're improving on God's handiwork? I don't think so. All nations that forget the genetic input of the DNA of the Creator and seek to change that will be turned into hell, a nightmare, a nightmarish event. And the foods that we're eating right now, two-thirds of them, think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Go read your labels and look for those calorie-pinching foods. Never mind the genetic alteration that has been plugged into that organism as simple as a candy bar, an innocent candy bar, with the ingredients been modified genetically and altered for whatever reason, only the wicked know. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Hall. I'm going to be in festival next Sunday night. I'll be coming to you live from Andrews, North Carolina, in fellowship. I will be picking up Genetic Alteration Part 2 a week from next Sunday night, as we will get into Part 2. I want to go deeper into, now we're talking about food modification. I want to get into human embryos and cell structure modifications and show you the devastating consequences of examples that never gets in your daily news for whatever reason. Your media will not report it. Who are they protecting? Is the media controlled by those who are in control of your demise? Is there a diabolical plan to rid the earth of a lot of people between now and the year 2050, when we will have a population explosion, if something don't happen soon, like a World War III, looming on the horizon possibility? Ladies and gentlemen, they have a way to rid the earth and to thin down the genetically altered bodies that are now beating with habitual intensity, crying out as they are addicted to the genetically altered foods that they consume with deadly consequences. I'll be back joining you next Sunday night, 8 o'clock, from Andrews, North Carolina. This is Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to write me tonight, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight on the 15th of May. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. And write me and let me know. Please attend our upcoming Passover Festival in Andrews, North Carolina. I look to see you there and meet you and greet you personally, as we will have 7 days of glorious celebration in Andrews, North Carolina at Passover. So don't miss that exciting festival in the hills of Western North Carolina. Praise Yahweh. Now, again, my mailing address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you'd like to call my sponsors, Dr. Gary, hopefully I can get him lined up to do a live show from Mississippi next Sunday night, if he can fill in for me. We've got some exciting things. He and I are going to do later a show on a very important subject, so maybe I can get him in early. Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll see you next Sunday night, Yahweh's willing, on the Festival of Passover. Yahweh bless you.
And the peace brings peace, and the mother knows.